I'm going to try. The microphone's on now, so you can hear me, I hope. Yep, excellent. Okay, today we're thinking very much harvest, and we're thinking in particular of God's blessing. Where is our treasure, and in what do we trust? That's the question I'm asking for harvest today, and I hope my PowerPoint works. Here we go. We'll go on here. I don't know if I'm doing this or you're doing this. Okay. The wonders of technology, eh? We'll see if the slide will go on. It was working earlier. Maybe I've got to stand on one leg. Yeah, nope. I think we might have a problem with the clicker. We've got a problem with something. Are we? Nope. Yep. I'm going to let you fast forward it. If my clicker is causing a problem. There we go. Count on it. Treasure, trust, provision. Where does it all come from? Well, we believe everything we have, every blessing, comes from God, don't we? Even though He might give us the wherewithal, the energy, and the abilities to work with those things, we are blessed abundantly. The problem is we are inclined to store up that treasure instead of sharing it. And I want to speak about that, because here it says, don't lay up for yourself treasures on earth. And I think the reason that's not a good idea is because often it will spoil. I can remember some time ago, R.S. McCall, do you remember R.S. McCall, the shop? It was selling off all its stationery. And I happened to be in the shop on that Monday when they were having the sell-off. And I couldn't believe what I saw. Packets of cross cartridges, Parker cartridges and water cartridges, ink cartridges, brown ink, blue ink, green ink, yellow ink, every color of ink you could think was there. And it was only 10 pence a packet. I was like a dog in a butcher shop. I just grabbed it all and cleaned them out. I use fountain pen. In fact, I collect fountain pens. I repair them. I have a little fountain pen hospital. That's what I call it. And I restore them. What I'm going to do when I retire, I'm just going to enjoy rebuilding pens. Well, the other day, I had need of a fountain pen with black ink. For some reason, I couldn't find my archive bottle of ink, but I knew I had these cartridges with black ink. So I went into the cupboard, and there were all the cartridges lined up in their boxes, and I took one out, put it in the pen, took the bladder out, put the cartridge in, tried to get it right, wouldn't work. So I tried other ways to get it right, still wouldn't work. Turned out the cartridge was dried out, so I got another one. Tried it, didn't work. I thought, I wonder if that's the same with them all. So I tried the blue, I tried the brown. Yep, they were all dried out. Couldn't believe it. All those cartridges were just taking up a lot of space and were useless. So I learned a lesson. It doesn't always work when you stock up, especially from years ago. You've really got to use it and enjoy it. And I didn't. I stored it for a rainy day. How many times do we do that? Put something off, I'll wear that shirt when the occasion comes, or I'll open that bottle when... And you never get to do it. You can go into any charity shop and you'll see their shirts that were given to some guy perhaps, still with the labels on. I'll wear it whenever it's right. And they don't. No, enjoy the blessings God's given to you and don't stock them up. But equally, the danger is they can fall apart Rust can come in, and many other things. In fact, you can even forget where you put it. Who's done that? Yeah? You get something, you stack it away, and you think, wouldn't I put that thing again? I know I've got it. Yeah, so we're all the same, aren't we? We're all the same. Well, I had a problem. I'm from Callander, okay? But it's nothing like this man from Sydney. He had 435 bicycles. Anybody here cycle? Right, 435 bicycles. You know how hard it is to keep your bike clean and how where to store it? He only had three rooms in his house, and he had 435 bikes. When he passed away, and the police were called to the house because nobody had seen any movement, when they went in, they couldn't believe their eyes. Apparently, it took them over 7 days to clear all the bikes out. And they discovered bikes and pieces of bike that the man had owned, had traded, had bought, but also, they reckon, had stolen. He had so many bikes, they said he was a little obsessed. That's what you call an understatement, yeah? A little obsessed. And we can find ourselves a little obsessed. Trouble is, you know, disasters can sneak in up. Problems can occur that we've not foreseen. And of course, we've been hearing the news of the terrible disaster in Libya. And all over the world, we're hearing of famines, pestilence, earthquakes, cyclones. You know, have you ever experienced an earthquake? I've experienced a few. My son and his wife live in New Zealand, in the North Island. Alex, his wife, is a scientist, and she's responsible, or was until she had her baby. She's on maternity leave at the moment. But she was responsible for monitoring Mount Taranaki, which is an active volcano. And Craig, my son, is responsible in North Island for keeping the lights on, the electricity. He's in charge of the electricity, and especially during disasters. Between the two of them, their bleepers go, and they have to go in different directions, leaving the children. But they've got that sorted. Their children are all primary school age, under secondary school. At the door of the house, they have a grab bag, because when the alarm goes, they have to grab that bag, and every household in New Zealand is taught the same, and head away from the coast in case a tsunami's coming, or if there's any further earthquakes, to go under the table, stand in the doorway, but eventually to get out. They're taught it from the cradle all the way through. They're taught it in school. I can remember speaking to a man in Darkus Leyland. You know where that is in Lancashire? And I'm sitting in his sitting room, and I'm telling him all about the love of God and how God's judgment was going to come upon the world. And indeed, it's already begun. And I was saying it comes down to the individual. I said, when the Lord comes back, the heavens will shake. No sooner had I said those words than the ornaments on his mantelpiece started to shake and fall off. And I thought it was just a train going by, but it was actually an earthquake. He knew it wasn't a train. And you'd never seen anybody come to faith so quick in all your life. You know, he put his trust in God at that point. God moves in mysterious ways. And we think we're safe, but how safe is the ground we're walking on? How safe is the country in which we live? It only took a little bug to close everything down. You know, we boast of tomorrow, and we shouldn't. We should rejoice in the day. And this is what our scripture here is teaching in terms of harvest. Enjoy the blessings, enjoy the life. That's what Ecclesiastes says. Enjoy all that God has given to you under the sun. But recognize it has come to you from God in heaven. I'm struggling. This wee thing isn't advancing all the time. I think it's skipping a slide or two every time I press it. So if you can put it on one slide next. Kleptis, where we get the word kleptomaniac from. He says thieves will come in and take it. A stealthy stealing. And that can happen. It happens online, doesn't it, these days? Nasty people come along and pretend to be something else or use your identity and steal from you. In those days, when Jesus was speaking, there weren't banking systems like we have today. There was no electronic banking. And identity theft, well, I'm sure that was still operating, but in a different kind of way. But the things that people prized was material things, physical things, fabrics. You didn't have many coats. And you especially didn't have many coats of many color. And if you had anything particularly different, you treasured it. And therefore, it was a great threat if a moth came along and had a go at it. Okay? And the same is true of their pots and pans and any of their gilded artifacts. Their metal work was precious. Everything else was clay, but a metal pot, there weren't many metal pots. You take your metal pots for granted, folks, you really do. But in these days, it wasn't taken for granted. They were well oiled and well protected, and they were really desirable. Like the way maybe the flat screen TVs were a long time ago with the thieves coming in, but they don't even take them now, do they? They don't even take the laptops anymore. They're looking for disposable things like jewelry and the likes of that. And they ransacked the house. Anybody ever had your house robbed or something? You know the horror of it. It's not so much, you know, the mess even. It's the precious things they take, the little things, or they damage, like your photographs or your paintings, these treasured memories that they just with contempt throw aside, trample on it, soil it in some way, and it grieves you and it hurts you. And that's what Jesus is saying here. You know, if you lay up your treasures on earth and you put so much stock on these physical things, believe me, he says, they're not pure as you think they are. And your security and your treasure should be laid up in heaven, because these things can so quickly disappear, like in a puff of smoke. Gone. Could we advance the next slide? As I say, I come from Callander. If you live in the West Coast, and particularly around Callander and the Trossachs, you value your leather, because your shoes, if you leave them unmoved for any length of time, begin to develop a life all of their own, and it's usually on the outside. It's a fungal infection that comes on all leather and Callander. It's a very peculiar thing, whether it's a watch strap or an old school bag or a pair of nice shoes, they get this fungal thing. And see, once it's on them, you can't really get it off. No matter how hard you polish, no matter how hard you shine, there's always that dull spot, you know. And I really think that's a very important thing for me. I had an old bag. It was my school bag. I had a love-hate relationship with it when I was in school. I used to put it under the bus so the wheels of the bus would break it, but it never ever broke. It always stood up. It always survived. But it never survived Callander. And that was when I began to really like it, because I used to use it going to uni, because it could carry my sandwiches in it and all my books and my laptop, you know. It was a good bag. It was one of these old overnight, what you used to call a briefcase. You remember those things? But it got all fungal. And it got that most peculiar, you know that smell you get in old church? That's what it smelled like all the time. And whenever it got damp, it was like a wet dog. It was awful. Have I given you a good image? That's exactly what Jesus is saying for the treasures that you're storing up here. Are they really that important, these things? You know, often we're reduced down to the basics as we get older, and we really begin to truly value what is important. Can we go on to the next slide? It's not a question of luck that you happen to be born or living here at this time and not in Libya. It's not luck. And I don't understand the sovereignty and omniscience of God. I'd need to be God to understand it, but I know that God knows what he's doing, and that keeps me sane. But God says here, look to him. Look to him and to his hand and to his blessing. It's nothing to do with you and the way you see things, because you don't see things right. At best, they're fogged, Paul says, doesn't he? We look in a mirror and it's as best fogged. We don't see things clearly. I never thought I'd be a Church of Scotland minister. I thought I was going to be an astronomer. Couldn't get any further. I didn't know I was going to come into the Church of Scotland. Originally, as a child, I was going to be a Roman Catholic priest. That's what my family hoped. But Protestant? Church of Scotland? You couldn't get any more in the opposite direction. But God knew, because God works all things together. There's no such thing as luck. There's no such thing as luck. For the Christian, it's from the hand of God, it's providence. And I suppose we can say, and it's from the book of Hezekiah, you won't find that, by the way, in the Bible, but I think it should be a book in the Bible called Hezekiah. What's meant for you will not go past you. You won't find that in Scripture. But in principle, it's there, because what God wants to bless you with, he will give you, and he will guide you, and what he wants to do in your life, he will do. He will do. It's not that you're some robot, but you'll come to the point where you'll submit to his will. Think of Jonah. You couldn't get a man that wanted the opposite, could you? Wanting to run the opposite direction, but God brought him round and brought him to deliver the message, because God's purposes were not going to be thwarted either by Jonah or by Jim or by you. God's purpose always works out. And you know something? You're his treasure. And he wants you to share it on earth, his grace. Can you move to the next slide, please? You know, it's awful when you talk about and you hear Christians using the word luck. When we look at creation, third day, it's not some kind of fortuitous event that brought all these things together that created that scene. In the providences of God, in the orderliness of God, he brought everything into being. He is God of salvation. He's even the God that feeds the birds. Yeah, that's what Jesus said. Not one sparrow falls to the ground that your Father in heaven isn't aware of it. There is nothing so big or so small that he's not aware of it. And it really is a shameful thing, I think, when we as Christians begin to speak about luck rather than providence. There but by the grace of God go I. Next slide. So here's the thing. This harvest, God isn't encouraging us just to sit back and somehow he's going to bring it and put it on a plate and give us it. Jesus isn't saying, sit back and I'll bring it to your door and I'll put it on a plate, I'll dress it up and I'll do it all for you. He isn't anti-banking. He isn't anti-investment. The challenge here is, who are we serving? Is it God or is it money? And he said, you can't serve both. You can't have two masters. And money just happens to be mentioned, but there can be other things that can often get in the way of God. And so he says, therefore. So he's talked about all the treasures and the tendency we have to gather and amass it and to keep it and forget where we put it, or it gets destroyed and consumed. But then he goes on and he says, therefore, think of this. And again, next slide. And this is it, anxiety. Anxiety is an awful thing. It eats at the soul, whilst faith, I believe, fills us with hope. Don't worry about what you eat, what you drink, what you're going to wear. Some of us do overly worry. We become so anxious. And he says here, and we know it's true, by being anxious, can you add and make it better? Doesn't make it better. In fact, it makes it worse. Next slide, please. And the truth is, six times in this little passage, if you were writing this passage in English, your English teacher would give you into trouble because you used the word anxiety too many times. You would have to use some other alternate words. But here in Scripture, the Spirit wants to emphasize something. And whenever you see something emphasized, there is a purpose for it. And when we read six times anxious, anxiety. It's a reflection of a human condition. Six is the number for humanity, and therefore it's looking at things in the natural rather than supernatural. That's what he's saying here. Don't look under the sun, Ecclesiastes would say, but trust the God above the sun. Trust the Lord who has made everything, for all things come to us from our Father in heaven. Next slide, please. Even the food we eat. Donuts, they say, are not good for you. And here we've got three donuts. Do not store up, do not. And twice, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. It's not good for you. You might think it's good to worry and fret, but it's not good for you. Next slide, please. Sorry, I couldn't resist that. You never hear life experts telling you to stress yourself out to the max because it's good for your well-being. Because it's not. They don't say to you, worry yourself sick about your children because then you'll have a happy family life. Do you? No. You don't hear them saying, worry yourself sick about your health because your blood pressure will go down. It doesn't work like that, does it? Anxiety, stress is a killer. And you know something? It's actually anti-God. Sorry to say that. But it is, because you somehow think you can take God's place and keep your life in control. No, it's our Father in heaven that oversees everything and has promised to bless us. And if we can but trust in that providence, trust in that grace, trust in that presence, trust in that provision, so we begin to understand this idea of what harvest is about. Next slide, please. Our daily bread, and it was Luther said, everything necessary for the preservation of this life is bread, including food, healthy body, good weather, house, home, wife, might add husband, children, good government, and peace. That's our daily bread. And when we're singing, give us this day, or saying, give us this day our daily bread, that's what we're talking about. It's not just the food. It's everything that we need to be a faithful society, to be worshippers before God. Next slide. So he says, consider the birds. Anybody had a bird knock on the door begging for food? I once had a little raven beg for a currant. I used to feed it currants. And it wasn't the door, it was the window. I'm at the window and I couldn't believe it. There's this bird and it's tapping. Come on, Jim, it's 9:30. Where's my current? But it wasn't begging. It was just a routine. But you don't normally get birds flying through the air and squawking at you. Maybe seagulls. I don't know. But they don't tend to beg for food. They know where to get it, and they get it. Consider the lilies of the field and how they are arrayed. Not even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed as such as one of these. You know, and if God does that for them, how much more is he going to do it for you? That's what Jesus is saying. How much more valuable are you than a bird? How much more valuable are you than a flower that's here today and gone tomorrow? Yeah, God values you so much. Next slide, please. So you can count on this. The abacus. You can count on it. This is a fact. It's tangible, real fact. And therefore, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and this is important, his rightness, his righteousness. Then all these things will be added to you. In other words, live a life that is holy, a life that is focused on the glory of God, a life full of worship, a life that isn't going to stash things away, a life that isn't going to hedge its bets, a life that is trusting in God, not full of anxiety and worry, but a life that is saying, God, I love you and I trust you with my life. Because I know you know the end from the beginning. You know every breath I breathe. You know every hair upon my head. You know when I wake and when I get up. You know when I go out and when I come in, you know every tear that's ever shed, you know me better than I know myself. Is that true? Yes. So why worry? Are you going to add anything to your life? Anybody worried about the dinner today? Some people might be. And we thank God for the food banks and what we do. Because we shouldn't really be encouraging worry and stress and anxiety. And part of the marks of mission of the church is to alleviate that so people will know they are safe and loved and honored. As a Christian, harvest means so much more than just simply food. It's all that I've been sharing with you. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you that we don't need to stash the blessings from you, for it's like the manna of old, it just moves on. We need the daily manna, the daily blessing. Help us, Lord, to trust you for that and to live in that light, that you're never going to deprive us, but always give us what we need. For Lord, you've set us apart for this purpose, to make your grace, your love and mercy known. Help us as church to do this today, when so many are caught up in the anxieties that arise from contemporary living. Lord, the world will never give them an answer. It will always press them into a corner, and then it will sit on them. But Lord, you liberate us with perfect love and grace, and therefore we should be free. So please, Lord, help us to boast in our freedom in Christ, not to look around and wonder and worry about what will happen tomorrow, because tomorrow's got cares for itself. It's today we have to trust. And today we want to thank you for all that you're doing and all, Lord, that you have promised to do, even in Jesus' name. Amen.